Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos Daf Nun Vav. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Ko Omer David Chata Eino El Toa. Whoever says David sinned is simply mistaken. This is in regards to the killing of Uriah Achiti and the taking of his wife Bathsheba. The Gemara explains that Uriah was considered a Morid B'Malchus, a rebel against the monarchy, when David Melch summoned him from the war and told him to return to his wife. Rashi explains that it was not proper in Uriah's response to David to refer to Yoav as his master before referring to the king as his master. And Tosafot says that Uriah rebelled when he refused to listen to the king and go home to his wife. Point number two, there's some halachos being Rabban Shmuel whether David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hora about Mephibosheth, Shaul HaMelech's grandson. Ziba, Mephibosheth's servant, told David HaMelech that Mephibosheth expressed hope that he would be coronated once the people saw the conflict happening between David and his sons, and David was exiled. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that David accepted Lashon Hora, and if he wouldn't have accepted it, his malchus would not have been divided, Bnei Israel would not have worshipped Avodah Zorah, and we would not have been exiled from our land. Shmuel says that David did not accept Lashon Hora against Mephibosheth. Rather, he discerned in Mephibosheth's subsequent behavior something that confirmed that what Ziba had said was true. Point number three, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Ko Omer Shlomo Chata Eino El Toa. Whoever says that Shlomo Melch sinned is simply mistaken. This is regarding committing the sin of Avodah Zorah on the altars that his wives had built. The Gemara asks, if Shlomo did not sin, why does the pasuk state, V'yas Shlomo hara b'einei Hashem, and Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem? The Gemara answers that Shlomo did not build the altars, but because he should have protested against his wives, who worshipped idols, and he didn't protest, the pasuk regards him as if he himself had sinned by building the altars for Avodah Zorah. So once again, the 3 points are, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Ko Omer David Chata Eino El Toa. Whoever says David sinned is simply mistaken. This is in regards to the killing of Uriah, Hachiti, and the taking of his wife Bathsheba. The Gemara explains that Uriah was considered Morid B'Malchus, a rebel against the monarchy, when David HaMelech summoned him from the war and told him to return to his wife. Rashi explains it was not proper in Uriah's response to David to refer to Yoav as his master before referring to the king as his master. And Tosafot says that Uriah rebelled when he refused to listen to the king and go home to his wife. Point number two, there's Malchokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hora about Mephibosheth, Shaul HaMelech's grandson. Ziba, Mephibosheth's servant, told David HaMelech that Mephibosheth expressed hope that he would be coronated once the people saw the conflict that happened between David and his sons. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that David accepted Lashon Hora, and if he would not have accepted it, his malchus would not have been divided, Bnei Israel would not have worshipped idols, and we would not have been exiled from the land. Shmuel says that David did not accept Lashon Hora against Mephibosheth. Rather, he discerned in Mephibosheth's subsequent behavior something that had confirmed what Ziba said was true. And point number three, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Ko Omer Shlomo HaMelech Chata Eino El Toa. Whoever says that Shlomo sinned is simply mistaken. This is regarding committing the sin of Avodah Zorah on the altars that his wives had built. Now the Gemara asks, if Shlomo did not sin, so why does the pasuk state, V'yas Shlomo Hara B'Einei Hashem, and Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem? The Gemara answers that Shlomo did not build the altars, but because he should have protested against his wives, who worshipped idols, and he didn't protest, the pasuk regards him as if he himself had sinned by building the altars for Avodah Zorah. Arsim Regor, a siman for Nun Vav. So once again, this siman was suggested by two Zichru members in the Adar Choose a Siman contest. They both suggested the same idea. I want to thank Rabbi Shlomo Weissman and Rabbi Moshe White. They came with the idea of the Shusher and Shul going Nunu, Nunu for Nun Vav. So here goes. The Shusher in Shul started his career of nunuing people in Shul when he heard people question David HaMelech's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth and Shlomo HaMelech's actions regarding his wives. Once again, in slow motion. The Shusher in Shul started his career of nunuing people. Nunuing people, that means we're on Duff, Nun Vav. So the Shusher in Shul started his career of nunuing people in Shul when he heard people question David HaMelech's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, which reminds us, Rabbi Shlomo Bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Ko Omer David Chata Eino El Toa. Whoever says David sinned is simply mistaken. This is in regards to the killing of Uriah Chiti and the taking of his wife Bathsheba. The Gemara explains that Uriah was considered a Morid B'Malchus, a rebel against the monarchy, when David HaMelech summoned him from the war and told him to return to his wife. Rashi explains it was not proper in Uriah's response to David to refer to Yoav as his master before referring to the king as his master. Tosa says that Uriah rebelled when he refused to listen to the king and go home to his wife. So the Shusher in Shul started his career of nunuing people in Shul when he heard people question David HaMelech's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, which reminds us there's Malchokas between Rav and Shmuel whether David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hora about Mephibosheth, Shaul HaMelech's grandson. Ziba, Mephibosheth's servant, told David HaMelech that Mephibosheth expressed hoped that he would be coronated once the people saw the conflict happening between David and his sons when he went to exile. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that David accepted the Lashon Hara, and if he would not have accepted it, his malchus would not have been divided, Bnei Israel would not have worshipped idols, and we would not have been exiled from the land. Shmuel says that David did not accept Lashon Hara against Mephibosheth. Rather, he discerned in Mephibosheth's subsequent behavior something that had confirmed that what Ziba said was true. So the Shushar in Shul started his career of nunuing people in Shul when he heard people question David and Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, and Shul Melch's actions regarding his wives. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shlomo bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Ko Omer Shlomo Chata Eino El Toa, whoever says that Shlomo sinned is simply mistaken. This is regarding to committing the sin of Avodah Zorah on the altars that his wives had built. The Gemara asks, if Shlomo did not sin, why does the Pasuk state, V'yah Shlomo HaRabba Eino Hashem? And Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem. The Gemara answers that Shlomo did not build the altars, but because he should have protested against his wives who worshipped idols, and he didn't protest, the Pasuk regards him as if he himself had sinned by building altars for Avodah Zorah. So once again, the Shushar in Shul started his career of nunuing people in Shul when he heard people question David Melch's behavior with Uriah and Mephibosheth, and Shlomo Melch's actions regarding his wives. All right, so now it's time for a four blah back Hazara. Daf Nun Beis. So the sim for Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, newbie, that means we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the How to Transport a Paraduma on a Leash video, which reminds us, Rav holds that an excessive restraint is considered a burden and is therefore prohibited for an animal to be restrained with it on Shabbos due to the prohibition of Hotzah. So this was challenged from a Brisa that stated that if the owner of a Paraduma tied a leash to it, the Paraduma is still valid. Now, a leash is considered an excessive restraint for a Paraduma, and if an excessive restraint is considered a burden, then it should disqualify the Paraduma, which is not permitted to carry burdens. Three Amoraim defended Rav, explaining that in this case, the extra restraint was necessary, and therefore it was not considered excessive to be classified as a burden. Abai said the Braisa was referring to a cow that was being transported to a different city, and therefore it required extra restraint so that it would not turn back. Rav explained that since the Paraduma is so rare and priceless, it needs to be guarded with extra care. And Ravina said that Braisa was referring to a rebellious cow, which required extra restraint. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the How to Transport a Paraduma on a Leash video until the more esoteric parts about purifying animal collars, which reminds us the Mishnah stated that one may sprinkle mechatas, the ash water of the Paraduma, upon a collar of an animal or immerse the collar in a mikveh even while it's on the animal's neck. This seems to contradict a Mishnah in Kehilim that states that a ring of an animal is not capable of becoming tameh. So Rabbi Yitzchak answered that the collar was initially noy adam, a person's adornment, which then was transferred to become noy behema, an animal adornment. And Rashi explains that the ring became tameh while it was still a person's adornment. Rav Yosef explained that since a person pulls an animal, the collar, it's classified as a human utensil, not an animal utensil. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the How to Transport a Paraduma on a Leash video until the more esoteric parts about purifying animal collars and vessels losing their ability to become tameh through destructive physical changes. Which reminds us, a Mishnah from Kalim was brought that taught that all kalim, all utensils, become susceptible to contract tuma through machshava, through thought, if the craftsman decides he'll use it without adding more to it. But they do not lose their capacity to contract tuma, to be makabel tuma, unless there was a shinui emaisa, a physical change. Rabbi Yehuda taught in a bright that when the Tana of the Mishnah said it loses its capacity to be makabel tuma through a maisa, through an action, he was only referring to a maisa that brought about a destructive physical change. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simfer Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that means we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feed bag and saddle cloth, which reminds us. There's Malchus bin Rav and Shmuel regarding what one can place on an animal on Shabbos. Rav holds that one may place a feed bag, a troskel, on an animal, which is for its pleasure, since it will not need to bend down to get food. And all the more so, one may place a saddle cloth, a mardas, on it to keep it warm and alleviate its suffering from the cold. Shmuel holds that only the saddle cloth is permitted in order to alleviate the suffering, but the feedback is prohibited since it's only there to provide comfort. And Rashi explains that according to Shmuel, putting the feedback on the animal would be an unnecessary exertion on Shabbos. So the Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feedback and saddle cloth, passing out kameis for people on their animals, which reminds us, the Gemara introduces a contradiction between a brice which states that an animal may not go out wearing a kameh, an amulet, even if it has proven effective. And a Mishnah states that a person may not go out with a kameh that has not proven effective, implying that one may go out with a kameh that has proven effective. So the Gemara answers that the Brisa is referring to a kameh that has proven effective for people, but has not proven effective for animals. And the Gemara clarifies that since a person has mazel, which Rashi explains to mean a malach, an angel, he's assisted in being healed. The animal lacking mazel doesn't get the extra assistance, and therefore the kameya may not be effective. So the Nigerian prince rode to the village on his horse with a fancy feedback and saddlecloth, passing out kameyas for people and their animals and golden coins to the man who needed a wet nurse for his son. Which reminds the Gemara relates a miracle that occurred to a poor man who did not have enough money to hire a wet nurse after his wife died. Miraculously, his breast opened and he was able to nurse his son. So Rav Yosef said the man must have been great to have such a miracle performed for him. Abai said that on the contrary, the man must have been inferior, for the natural order was changed on his behalf. And Rashi explains that this man did not marry to have the Shari Schar, the gates of income, open for him. Rav Yudah said that one can learn from this incident how difficult it is to provide a person's sustenance, for instead of the poor man's sustenance being provided, the natural order was changed on his behalf. And Rav Nachman supported Rav Yudah's observation by pointing out that miracles happen to save people's lives, but food is rarely created. Daf Nun Dalet. So the Simfer Nun Dalet is noodles. Noodles, so here goes. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles. Noodles, that means we're on Daf Nun Dalet. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that camels may not go out akud bound or ragul, hobbled, which prevents them from running away. Rav Yudah follows the Tanna that says that akud means the binding of hand and foot in the same way that Yitzhak was tied up by Avram Avinu. One brisa states it's either tying up the two front legs or the hind legs together. And a second brisa includes both definitions. Ragul means bending the lower foreleg onto its upper foreleg and tying it there. Since these chains cause pain to the animal, they're considered a burden to the animal, and the animal would be considered caring. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a man may gather the ropes together of camels to pull them, provided he does not wrap the ropes around his hand. Rav Eshi explained that the concern of wrapping around the hands was one of kalaim. The Gemara suggests that the Mishnah cannot be concerned about the kalaim of the ropes. If one was made of wool and the other one was made of linen, since it was taught in the Mishnah that one connection, a tekifa achas, between wool and linen is not considered a combination, not considered chibur. Even one knot, therefore, is not considered kalaim. The Gemara clarifies that, in fact, the Mishnah's concern, according to Rav Eshi, was the kalaim of ropes, and when the Mishnah stated, provided he does not wrap the ropes around his hand, it meant provided that he does not make two knots, which would be an issue of kalaim. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's legs, chains, and ropes with huge noodles to help them go free, just like the cow he let loose with noodles between his horns. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a cow may not go out on Shabbos with a strap between its horns like the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara clarifies that the cow referred to actually belonged to a female neighbor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but was identified by his name since he should have protested and told her not to let it go out since it's considered carrying a burden. The Gemara then brings a number of teachings stating that those who do not protest against people that they can have an influence on are punished for those people's transgressions. Daf Nun Hei. So the Simfer Nun Hei is a 55-mile speed limit sign. So here goes. The race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead. Speed limit sign? That means we're on Daf Nun Hei. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead, which reminds us, Rav Elchanan Rabbi Chanina said that a good decree never issued from the mouth of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which was then retracted, except in the following case. In the times of Yechezkel, Kodesh Baruch Hu told the Malach Gavriel to put the letter Tzaf on the heads of the Tzaddikim so they should not be wiped out in a Megefen, a plague. The Midas Adin asked why the Tzaddikim should be spared since they could have protested. When Kodesh Baruch Hu responded that he knew the people would not have responded to the rebuke, the Midas Adin answered back that the Tzaddikim didn't know and therefore they should have tried. Kodesh Baruch Hu subsequently rescinded his decree and the Tzaddikim were not spared. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had Zchus Avos, which reminds us, Shmuel said that Saf HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to put on the Tzaddikim's heads represented Tama Zchus Avos, the merit of the Avos had expired. The Gemara wants to know at what point the merits expired. Rav said it was in the days of Hosea. Shmuel said it was in the days of Hazael, the Melech of Aram, who oppressed Bnei Israel in the days of Yehoahaz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the days of Eliyahu, and Rabbi Yochanan said in the days of Chizkiyahu. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had Zchus Avos when he lost control of his car and crashed into a tent with a bed. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman said in the name of Yonasan, Ko Omer Reuven Chata Eino El Atoa. Whoever says that Reuven sinned is mistaken, for it says in the Pasuk, Yubnei Yaakov Shnemasar, and the sons of Yaakov were 12, which teaches all 12 were equal. Rabbi Shimon Elazar quoted in the Brisa teaches that the Pasuk V'yishkav es Bila Pelegesh Aviv, and he lay with Bila, the concubine of his father, is to be interpreted to mean that he sought to address an affront to his mother Leah. Reuben said, if my mother's sister, meaning Rachel, was a rival to my mother, shall the maidservant of my mother's sister be a rival to my mother? Therefore, Reuben moved Yaakov's bed to Leah's tent. The Gemara subsequently brings a brisa with a Malchokas denying whether, in fact, Reuben had relations with Bila. All right, so now we go to our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here we go. Number 1, which duff do we learn that one can definitely insulate cold food? That's on duff. Nunav, good. Number 2, which duff do we discuss what the definition of akud is regarding binding up a camel? That's on duff. Nundalad, good. Number 3, which duff do we discuss kameas for people and animals? That's on duff. Nun gimbal, good. Number 4, which duff do we have the statement that David HaMelech never sinned? That's on duff. Nun vav, good. Number 5, which duff do we discuss Reuben moving the bed? That's on duff. Nun hey, good. Number 6, which duff do we discuss the cow of Rebbelezer ben Azariah? That's on duff. Nun dalad, great. Number 7, which duff do we discuss purifying animal collars? That's on duff. Nun beis, good. Number 8, which duff do we have the statement that one who says that Shlomo Melech sinned is making a mistake? That's on duff. Nun vav, good. Number 9, which duff do we learn that one cannot crush snow or hail on Shabbos? That's on duff. Nun av, good. Number 10, which duff do we learn that destructive changes to vessels takes away its ability to be makabel tuma? That's on duff. Nun beis. Great. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from brachas. Number 1, which duff do we learn the bracha for akeshes, for a rainbow? That's on duff. Nun tes. Good. Number 2, which duff do we learn about the 4 people that are required to bench gomel? That's on duff. Nun dalad. Good. And number 3, which duff do we learn about the improper ways to say amen? That's on duff. Mem Zayin. Great. That concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.